Good morning, and welcome to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. We hope you'll listen in every Sunday at 9:30 on 93R. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg. If you have a question or desire more information, call us at 304-485-5171. Our website is www.ebcwv.com.
Coming up in August, we're going to be having a ministry fair, and July is, in a sense, a part of that. In that we take the month of July off and allow some talented and gifted speakers that we have in our church to share. So Randy's going to be sharing last week, and then again this week, and then Krista Rates will be next week. The children and youth will be sharing about VBS and their mission week on the 21st. And then Dr. Hannah will kind of close out the month. So it's great that God has called different people and given them gifts. And I know you'll appreciate what Randy has to share with us.
Good morning. The scripture lesson for today is in your bulletin. It's Romans 16, 25 through 27. Today, all around the English-speaking world, thousands of Christians will raise their voices and sing praise to God. One particular poem has become a treasure in our English language and aiding in our worship of God. Thomas Kin was a pastor, scholar, and author who served at Oxford University in the mid to late 1600s. He often wrote hymns for his students and encouraged them to sing them in the morning and at evening prayers. In 1709 edition of his hymns, in what he called the morning hymn, he attached at the end of the 14th stanza, the words which are now almost universally recognized as the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The name doxology comes from the Greek word doxa, which originally meant simply an opinion. Your opinion of someone was your doxology regarding that person. Over time, doxa came to refer to someone's reputation or their power. Eventually, it came to mean honor or glory bestowed on someone. In the Bible, of course, the one who is deserving of all doxa and of all glory and of all power and honor is none other than God. In fact, the word doxa appears often in the New Testament as something that is related to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is raised in the glory of the Father, Romans 6. He is taken up into glory, 1 Timothy 3. He is at the right hand of glory, Acts 7. And has glory ascribed to him in Hebrews 13, when the writer closes his letter by writing, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom all glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ is referred to as the Lord of glory by Paul and James, 1 Corinthians 2 and James 2. He is referred to in one of the strongest verses of his glory and divine nature, God incarnate, in Titus 2, in which it says, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Someday, we will see Christ in all his doxa, all his glory and honor and power. But in the meantime, our opinion of him should match who he is. So, what is your opinion of God? What is the reputation of Jesus Christ to you? What do you think of when you think of God? It is no wonder that one author would challenge the believer, saying, disregard the study of God, and you sentence yourself to stumble and blunder through life blindfolded, as it were, with no sense of direction. It is wonderful that we can meet today to elevate our opinion of God together, to raise our perspective of Jesus Christ, and to give glory and honor to our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. After all that Paul has written to the Romans, after all the proper theology and the practical theology, he now ends with a doxology, and so he should. Theology, the study of God, ultimately leads to a doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow is the natural response to coming in contact with our supernatural Lord. Is it any wonder then that Paul will end this great revelation of God with praise to God? The glory of God is the theme of any true doxa. It is the declaration of the glory and honor and majesty of God. So in 16:25 through 27, this is Paul's doxology to the entire book of Romans. So let's look at the first half of verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message that I proclaim about Jesus Christ. In Greek, the section that says to him who is able is the Greek word for dynamic, which also gives us our word dynamite. Paul is saying to him who is powerfully, dynamically capable of not only breaking through our depraved and blind hearts, but building and establishing our lives for his glory. The word strength is used often by Paul. It comes from the original word sterizo, which means to make firm or to make stable. Sterizo is the same word that gives us our transliterated word, steroids. And of course, we have certainly seen plenty of newspaper reports of athletes who misuse steroids and other drugs to bulk up or to speed up in order to get an edge over other athletes. However, steroids also have a good use and are often prescribed by the medical community to help someone struggling with some weakness or disability or recovering from a disease. Some of you may have been prescribed steroids. Now, the Roman believers were well known all around for their faith. But even though they were famous for their faith, they were not firm in their faith. In this analogy, the Apostle Paul is encouraging the believers as they follow after God. He is able to add spiritual muscle to their ministry. He is able to add fitness and firmness to their faith. So the first stanza of Paul's doxology is simply this: my God is able, even when you aren't. My God is capable, even when you can't. And my God is strong, even when you struggle. Now notice that in order to say now to him who is able means that everyone else is unable. In fact, Paul finishes his doxology with this thought in the last verse, in verse 27, by saying, to the only wise God. All other gods are made of wood and stone and earthly things. The gods of this world are partakers. Our God is a giver. In this verse, Paul implies that he gives strength to the weak. E.M. Bounds, the author of numerous books on prayer in the late 1800s, wrote this: rising early one morning, I heard the barking of a number of dogs chasing a deer. Looking at a large open field in front of me, I saw a young fawn running across the field, giving signs that it was running out of strength. Its race had been run. It leaped over the rails of the enclosed place and came within 10 feet of where I was standing. The moment later, as two of the hounds rushed towards her, the fawn ran in my direction and pushed its head between my knees. I lifted the little thing up in my arms and, swinging around and around, fought off the dogs. I felt that all the dogs in the West could not and would not capture this fawn after it had come to me in its weakness and appealed to my strength. Are you running from God? Are you running for your life? Run to God. He'll give you strength. Paul wants to sing about the compassionate, caring, dynamic God who is actually interested in us and completely capable of helping us to survive life, to firm up our faith, to help us stand. Praise God for his might. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So the So first, we have the praise of God's might, and now we have the praise of God's message, and that message is Jesus Christ. The gospel is Jesus Christ. Without the gospel, we would not know God, who is known only through Jesus Christ. Without Christ, there would be no gospel. The world knows we need good news about the afterlife, but cannot come up with it. Watch their movies and read their books about life and after death and angels in the spirit world. They are like young people trying to pin the tail on the donkey while blindfolded. The British pastor and author J. Sidlow Baxter wrote, "Jesus Christ did not come merely to preach a gospel. He himself is the gospel. He did not come merely to give bread. He said, 'I am the bread.' He did not come merely to shed light. He said, 'I am the light.' He did not come merely to show us the door. He said, 'I am the door.' He did not come merely to name a shepherd. He said, 'I am the shepherd.' And he did not come merely to point the way. He said, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life.'" In this letter, Paul has revealed to the Roman believers the truth of the gospel as he reveals the glory of God through Christ. Chapter 1 of Romans writes about the depravity of man and the deity of Christ. Chapter 2 delivers the impartiality of God towards humanity. Chapter 3 clarifies the redemption of Christ. Chapter 4 connects the gospel with the resurrection of Christ. Chapter 5 tells of the death of Christ overruling the transgressions of Adam. Chapter 6 explains the new life of the believer in Christ. Chapter 7 reminds that the deliverance of Christ is required in daily living. Chapter 8 assures that our victory is in Christ. Chapter 9 declares the sovereignty of Christ. Chapter 10 demonstrates the invitation of Christ to whosoever will. And chapter 11 repeats the promise of Christ to Israel. Chapter 12 encourages the body that Christ is empowered. Chapter 13 restates the supremacy of Christ. Chapter 14 extends the grace of Christ. Chapter 15 exhorts our unity in Christ. And chapter 16 exalts the glory of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, God did not just send a map from heaven. He sent a Messiah. It is because of Christ that we can sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." Now look at the second half of verse 25, where it says, "In keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden from long ages past." Paul wrote of himself, Apollos, Peter, as stewards of the mysteries of God, 1 Corinthians 4:1. These were among the New Testament prophets who were receiving the revelation and delivering it to the church regarding the mysteries that had been hidden in ages past. Paul wrote in Ephesians, "By revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief." By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been now revealed to his holy apostles and the prophets in the Spirit. The Greek word for mystery is not used as something that is mysterious, but is something that is simply not understood until further revelation from God. A number of mysteries are mentioned in the New Testament, things that were not understood by the Old Testament saints, but were disclosed fully in the coming of Christ and the development of the New Testament scriptures. Some of them include the mystery of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians, the mystery of godliness, 1 Timothy, the mystery of the rapture, 1 Corinthians, the mystery of the kingdom of God, Mark 4, the mystery of Christ's will in Ephesians 1, the mystery of faith, 1 Timothy 3, and the mystery of Christ indwelling believers, Colossians 1. These are mysteries that were unknown in depth by the Old Testament saint, but are disclosed and revealed through the New Testament scriptures. Even still, we do not understand everything about these mysteries. Debates between solid scholars continue to spill ink over the mystery of the rapture and the mystery of the kingdom and the mystery of lawlessness. We do not understand everything. For even in eternity, the wonder of God's glory through these mysteries will continue to unfold. Paul talks about a profound mystery. The profound mystery Paul refers to in Ephesians 5. is about the marriage between a man and a woman. And then he writes, this mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. In other words, Paul was referring to the marriage of Christ to his bride, the church. The profound mystery of the gospel is the inclusion of Gentiles into the family of God. The marriage of God the Son and to predominantly Gentile bride. There are hints of this in the Old Testament. Through Abraham, in Genesis it says, all families of the earth will be blessed. Through Isaiah, God told Israel that the Messiah would be a light to the nations so that the salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Only God could create the types of mysteries, illustrations, prophecies, and predictions regarding the fulfillment of the mystery, Christ and his bride, the church. Only God could come up with Christianity, and he did. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God for the glory of his might. Praise God for the glory of his message. And praise God for the glory of his mystery. Let's look at verse 26. But now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings of the command of the eternal God, so that all Gentiles might come to obedience that comes through faith. While salvation comes by faith in Christ apart from good works, faith in Christ produces good works. Faith is essential to salvation, and good works are essential evidences of salvation. Paul wrote in Titus 2 that the believers are purified for God and zealous for good works. In Ephesians 2, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works. Salvation is God's gift to us, and good works are our gifts to God. When Thomas Kuhn published his doxology in 1709, the doxology had a stanza preceding it, which sings of our duty to serve Christ. It says, awake my soul, and with the sun, thy daily stage of duty run. Shake off dull sloth and joyful rise to pay the morning sacrifice. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God for the change that comes in a person's life who trusts in the gospel of Christ for salvation. Verse 27. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Every other god is a dead stump or a rock or a figment of the imagination. Our God, as revealed in Scripture, is the only God. Paul is not writing this doxology to his favorite God or to the God of the month or to the God who has the most followers or to the God receiving the most favorable press. We live in an era in which we hear about many faiths, people of other faiths. But let me make this clear. While it might be increasingly politically incorrect to say it, we at Emmanuel here will say there are no other faiths. There is one faith. All others are speculations, myths, man-made religions, and false hopes. There is only one Lord and there is only one faith, Ephesians 4. There are false Christs and false prophets, Matthew 24. There are false apostles, 2 Corinthians 11. There are even false visions, Lamentations 2. There are false brethren, Galatians 2, and false teachers, 2 Peter. We do not say that there are many Christs in the world today because there is only one true Christ. In the same way, centuries earlier, Isaiah wrote about, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and there is no other God besides me. Who is like me? Let me proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order, from the time that I established the ancient nations. Do not tremble and do not be afraid. I have long since announced it to you and declared it. You are my witness, and there is no God besides me. God besides me, or is there any other rock? I know of none. Now you might say, but there are other religions of great wisdom. Look at the East, the Orient, which is venerated for its wisdom. All truth originates in the wisdom of God, for he is truth. To the extent that anyone who speaks the truth, he is speaking the truth of God, whether he knows it or not, or acknowledges it, the source of the truth or not. You might say, but the religions of the Orient precede Christ. Well, those religions may precede the birth of Christ, but they did not precede the declaration of the gospel. The gospel was given to Moses, and it was preached to Abraham. The coming Messiah was promised to Adam and Eve. When Noah disembarked from the ark with his three sons, the nations of the world were born. And they had the gospel. They knew the truth of the gospel. Ladies and gentlemen, if you follow a gospel other than the faith of Christ alone, you are following a false gospel that will lead you to hell. If you follow the gospel of Christ, you will go to heaven. For it is the power of Christ, it is the power of God for salvation to anyone who believes. It is only through Christ that the triune God can be known. Christ, equal with the Father, of the same divine essence, took human form, Philippians 2, and came to earth so that we could behold the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth, John 1. This doxology will never end. It is unending praise. It is never ceasing glory and honor to the only wise God through Jesus Christ. Fred was a convicted thief and a heroin addict, but he had been led to Christ in prison by the family of one of his robbery victims, and the change was dramatic. His original conviction was overturned on a legality, and he was released from prison awaiting retrial. He joined a church, got involved in an ex-prisoner's fellowship, and continued to grow in Christ. When the time of his retrial arrived, Fred believed that it was his obligation as a Christian to be completely honest in court. To the shock of everyone, he confessed to other crimes in which he had stolen but had never been caught. He told the judge that he was willing to accept whatever punishment was appropriate. A long, awkward silence filled the courtroom while the judge considered what to do with Fred and his newly confessed crimes. When the judge announced the sentence, it reflected a wisdom that gave Fred back his life. He was to make restitution to the victims for their losses with 50% interest, and he was sentenced to 10 years for each robbery that he confessed to. But the judge suspended them all, requiring no jail time to be served. For a moment, no one in the packed courtroom moved. Then Fred's pastor jumped to his feet and shouted, "Let's sing it!" And he proceeded to lead the entire courtroom in the singing of the doxology. The Seattle Times captured the scene. Everyone stood. Kids in jeans, men in business suits, a biker with his motorcycle jacket and helmet, prison guards and ex-cons. And they began to sing the doxology. Officials later said that it was the first time that a Seattle Superior Court case had ever been closed with a doxology. And I'm sure that's true. Is it any wonder that Paul, a redeemed sinner with guilt piled high before God, leads the church now for 2,000 years in doing what all of us who are redeemed sinners can do upon realizing the glory of God? To all who regularly run into his everlasting arms, we have in our lives the ministry of God given, the mystery of God revealed, the message of God delivered, and the might of God provided. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for the book of Romans. Thank you for the church which you redeemed. Thank you for this church which we have, which you have uniquely blessed. And above all, thank you for you. You are the only wise God, and through Jesus Christ, we have come to know you and give you glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.
We're going to stand to sing together, Cleanse Me, which is a, think of the words as we prepare to take of the elements. We do have there'll be a deacon available during the hymn, but probably after the communion time, that person will be available if you'd like to talk to someone further. Let's stand and sing as we prepare to come to the table. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See some wicked way in me, bend me from every sin and set me free. Remain standing and say with me the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. This week, I had the opportunity to visit a special church member. Meridor is actually with us on the back row today with Mark. And as we were, as I was preparing to leave, I made reference to the fact that her the bed that she sleeps in is there in the living room, and the lady comes at night, and they've established a really good relationship. And Meridor looked at me and said, "Do you see the cross on the wall?" And I said, "Yeah, it's a beautiful cross." And she said, "The last thing I look at night, the first thing that I look at in the morning is that cross." And I thought, that's a good way to frame your life. The last thing you look at night is that cross. And the first thing in the morning is to think about that. And the first thing that came to me, and we recited it together, she quoted every word along with me. Maybe you can say it with me now. "For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's pray. Father, thank you. May your cross and the power of it come home. All glory, praise, and honor to you. May we see how powerful is your love, and may we receive it again into our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Our website is www.ebcwv.com. I'm Pastor Kurt Busick. We leave you with this important word from the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." God bless you and have a great Sunday.